Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Paul Gant, alongside Jeremy Espy. And for the next hour, we will be talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. And, of course, you will get a heavy dose of our opinion. And if you have an opinion, the number to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgan. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgan. And you can send email messages to the show at goforward.gant@gmail.com. That's goforward.gant@gmail.com. We're expected to be joined by actor Barry Floyd, a Temple alum like myself, like Jeremy. Barry's going to talk about the game, the return of the game on BET. And if you don't know, Barry is TT. Plays the role of TT off the game, and Barry's a funny guy, and it should be great to get him on, a Philadelphia guy, and we're going to talk a little bit about the show, and we're going to talk a little bit about some sports as well, so it should be great to get Barry's insight. Jeremy, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm sorry. I can't speak to you until you get my name right, first of all.
Or should I say Bay, standing for Bay Area. Yes, B, if you guys listen to Saturday show. This was a guy who, after talking to Scott Reese from CSN Bay Area, that seemed to become a Giants fan overnight. I mean, it's a guy that I guess in a lot of ways was wearing his Cody Rawls jersey and his Juan bleeping Uribe jersey this past Saturday at the Giants advance to the World Series. After they beat the Phillies in Game 6, 3-2, and after they won the series 4-2, sad, but life goes on. Joy will come in the morning, and joy may come in the form of the Philadelphia Eagles. Probably not. Joy is coming in terms of the Philadelphia Eagles because Michael Vick will be back as the starting quarterback. According to Andy Reid, he named Michael Vick the starter. The team, Eagles, are on a bye week this week, and 2 weeks from now they face the Indianapolis Colts at the Link, and Michael Vick will be back in the starting lineup. And Kevin Cobb, two decent performances. The last performance against the Titans, not a great one. Turned the ball over twice. Just didn't really look that sharp. And ultimately the Tennessee Titans, led by Kenny Britt, who just went off, over 200 yards receiving, 3 touchdowns, and the Titans roared back and beat the Eagles 37-19. And Michael Vick will be back as the starting quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. So the debate, I guess, will still be Vick or Cobb, but the way it's shaping up, everybody knows that this team's best opportunity to win is with Michael Vick.
Well, I mean, I think, Paul, today it is. Tomorrow, who knows? And I mean, if I look at, we've been saying this on and off all year, if I look at this team next year and the year after, because they're not going anywhere this year, that's where I get kind of frustrated. I have to say, when I look at the emotion of it, the emotion I think I see is a lot of frustration, and I say that because I don't know, I think Vic is maybe going to put them. Well, they're not making the playoffs other than a wild card.
Don't be so sure of that in terms of the playoffs, especially with Michael Vick.
No, I said they're going to make the playoffs, but as a wild card, they're not winning the division.
They're not winning the division,
Paul.
I can't say that either. I mean, I mean, the Giants have looked good these past couple weeks, but I'm not in love with the Giants. I'm not in love with the Giants, and I don't think anybody at this point can say that the Giants are definitively better than the Philadelphia Eagles at this point. I mean, are the Giants playing some good football? Yes, they are. But are they definitively a better football team than the Eagles? I mean, you got to remember this Eagle team beat the Atlanta Falcons, which, I mean, it's a team that I don't truly believe in, but record-wise, it's one of the tops in the NFC. So don't be so quick to give the New York Giants the division. And also, you have the Washington Redskins and Donovan McNabb, Larkin, as well at 4-3. So don't be so quick to give that division to the New York Giants.
It's not just, in my opinion, and I hate to say this, Paul, because I think the most overrated quarterback so far this year has been Donovan McNabb. But I do see the fact that he's playing last week, we didn't really get it. We're not getting really a chance to compare the quarterbacks the way we should, because every week we know it's one more week that Cobb's just buying time. But McNabb, you talk about maybe Cobb didn't have a good game, not a great game, but McNabb had a horrible game. I mean,
he didn't have a great game.
He didn't have a horrible game. You're right, Paul. He had a horrible game. I mean,
there might be some validity to what you're saying, because as of right now, in terms of quarterback rating, Donovan is 24th in the league at 76. He has a quarterback rating of 76, so he's 24th in the league. Ahead of guys like Alex Smith, Matt Hasselbeck, Jason Campbell, Sam Bradford, Bruce Gradkowski, and your boy Brett Favre. So, I mean, Donovan again. But Donovan right now is 24th in quarterback rating. And I agree with you. I mean, I watch Donovan. I watched him against the Packers. That was actually one of his better games. But in seeing some of the highlights of the Bears game, he didn't really look too sharp. And if it wasn't for Jay Cutler throwing the ball around and D'Angelo Hall with his four interceptions, the Redskins probably would be 3-4 at this point. And also, if you look at it, if it wasn't for a bonehead decision by Lovie Smith not to challenge a call, which was a touchdown for the Bears, more than likely, if you look at everything, if you look at all these things, you put all these things together, the Bears probably should have won that game, but good teams find a way to steal victory out of the jaws of defeat, and that's what they did.
And that's why I say the Eagles, Paul, and I think honestly when you look at this down the line for the rest of this season too, the Eagles are going to really have a much more difficult schedule than, for example, a team like Washington who, you know, if McNabb wants to pull a string of wins together, like he did last year, they're going to walk into the playoffs because of the strength of their schedule versus the Eagles' strength of schedule. And that's why I say, but I caution that's the long-term goal of this team. I really do. I think Philadelphia and Andy Reid really should, if they're going to make Mike Vick the quarterback, which I can tell you if he comes out right now and says, I want Vick to be the quarterback for the next 3 to 5 years, I can't say I have a problem with that. I think they can, in the next three to five years.
I think it's judging on how well Mike Vick plays throughout the rest of this year. And also you have to look at this as well. I mean, say what you will about Mike Vick. There has to be on some level a trust issue in terms of handing the keys to your franchise over to this guy. Granted, he seems like he's changed. Granted, he seems like a different guy. You see all those different things. But at the end of the day, are you really, 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 really sure that this guy has changed and this guy is a different guy and you are ready to hand the keys to your franchise over to him? Are you really sure?
We know that ultimately has to answer.
And that's something they have to answer as an organization as a whole. So, I mean, it should be interesting to see how this thing plays out. But, again, if Michael Vick plays at the level that he played earlier in the year, then they're going to have a tough decision. And it might be reminiscent to the decision that the Chargers ultimately had to make with Drew Brees and Philip Rivers. They had a decision to make what guy they wanted to go to. Did they want to stay with Drew Brees or go with the young guy, Phillip Rivers? Ultimately, they chose Phillip Rivers, which is not a bad decision. Drew Brees did go on to win a Super Bowl, but it wasn't a bad decision because Phillip Rivers is a top-notch quarterback. So, I mean, ultimately, it seems like the Eagles are going to have a similar decision when it comes down to Michael Vick and Kevin Cobb if Michael Vick continues to play at the level that he has played throughout this year.
You know, one of the things.
Let's take a quick caller. Hello, you're on Go For It.
Yeah, I wanted to make a quick comment and get your take on it. Excuse me. I wanted to.
I haven't heard you in a while. I missed your voice. Glad to have you back.
First of all, we got to make sure where's he calling from. Number one, because I understand he's about to get on the train, may head south for a weekend.
True. This is true. This is true. I'm actually on the way in to earn that almighty dollar. But I figured I'd call up my homeboys and get reunited. But quick
reunited definitely feels so good.
It most certainly does. I got two comments real quick that I just wanted to throw out there. The first one, since we were talking about Michael Vick, just get your take on A. It was kind of strange to me in the beginning of the year when Michael Vick wasn't playing much, and last year when he was sitting on the bench, and the beginning of the year he was sitting on the bench, and all these stories came out about he was hanging with his brother, and he's a bad influence, and he was at an airport on his way to on his way out to court, and he had two vodka and cranberry drinks at Philadelphia Airport, and of course a big story about his birthday party, and now that he's been back in the starting mix of things, and he's been so to speak blowing stats out of the waters and playing great football, his name hasn't been in the news at all. And my second comment, and I'll hang up and I'll listen, is do you remember the last time we were so united in my caller glory here? And I remember distinctively telling Paul that the big stats of the Phillies were 2-for-12 in the no-hitter against Holiday.
listen, Bay Area
Josh. And a quote to my main man and the host with the most is Paul Gant was, it was a non-issue. And look where we sit now.
Bay Area Josh.
Well, at the time, it was a non-issue. But, like you said, look where
Bay
we
area
sit now.
Bay Area Josh.
We sit with Ryan Howard and the rest of the guys packing up their belongings, putting away the bats, putting away all the balls, the uniform and everything, and everybody going on home back to their respective areas. That's where we sit at this point.
Is it me, or does it seem like every time these guys get into the playoffs, they do the same thing, and they send their bats home and just kind of show up? And I mean, the last at bat Ryan Howard had, and it was the number one play on the top 10 today on ESPN. The man sat there with the bat on his shoulder, staring at strike three, and it kind of summed up their playoff experience this year as well as last year.
Paul, you got the first comment, Philadelphia, Paul. But let Bay Area Jeremy here. The thing that's interesting about this Philadelphia team versus 2008 and all the bandwagon jumpers that want to talk about how much the Phillies are great and the Phillies are this is really it hits the nail on the head in what the caller mentioned, which is they really have really, if you look at them statistically throughout their playoff run here, they're not a very strong team. 2008, had it not been for the fact that the Yankees just, they couldn't get it done, they would have never beaten a quality Yankee team. And to prove that, we'll look at 2009, because the Yankees went out, got the best available players, got the best available pitchers, and they beat the pulp out of the Phillies
I think you got a little wrong. 2008, they would have been playing the Red Sox. The Red Sox was the team that actually beat the Devil Rays there.
Correct.
But
no, I didn't, Paul, because the Philadelphia Phillies, Paul, the Phillies would have never, but they would have never beaten a quality team had they got lucky. They got a very inexperienced opponent. The Phillies didn't, and even in 2008, there were issues. They got hot when they needed to get hot, and they couldn't replicate that in 2009.
I disagree. I think in 2008 was the only year that their bats did show up. They were getting hits by guys like Matt Starrs had a big home run. Victorino had a great grand slam against.
You know what?
They weren't getting them.
Josh, I disagree. great. That was total aberration. Those hits, when you need those kind of hits to win games, over the long run, you're not going to win. They should have won 3 championships. You get to the World Series, or you get a chance to get to the World Series 3 times in a row, and you don't win, you're the Philadelphia Eagles, and Paul's going to write a song about somebody on the Philadelphia Phillies in a couple of years who's going to go. It might be Ryan Howard, because all he does is sit around. Maybe it's going to be a ballot this time.
We're actually now being joined by former NFL quarterback Sean Salisbury. Sean, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, fellas. How are you?
Doing well. Sean, quick, we want to start with Brett Favre now. Brett Favre has an injury right now with his ankle, suffering with the ankle injury. 2 fractures in his left ankle. At this point, a lot of people are saying that Brett Favre needs to sit down. What are your thoughts on Brett Favre and whether or not he should sit down?
Well, my philosophy is if he's healthy enough to play, he plays. Now, when you saw him walk off the field, that's about his, you know, I've known Brett a long time, and I think it's the most impressive record in sports. I mean, DiMaggio's 56-game hitting streak, pretty doggone close, but as far as durability goes, and I love Cal Ripken, this is not even close. This would be like you and I going to work and not missing for 15 straight or 25 straight years with a cold. There's people that can't even go to work 20 days in a row, or should I say 2 months in a row or 3 months in a row without missing. And he's played 291 straight games with somebody hitting him in the back the whole time. So impressive. When it comes down to playing, you know, I think an 85% Favre is better than a 100% Tavares Jackson, if that's what you're asking. So, but the truth is, you can't just play him for the record, guys. You got to play him. He still can make throws. He still forces the ball with those interceptions. That's Brett. You live with it and die with it. But you can't run him out there just because you want the record. And Brett, I don't think, would run out there just for the record. But if you got him out there and he can take shots or feel good and play and get out of the boot and line up and play, you play him, unless he's ineffective. But if he can't, then you got to play somebody else. But you sure as heck got to get somebody ready to play and start. But the Vikings.
But Sean, you said it best. I mean, you said it best, and I'm going to piggyback off it because I don't disagree. I'll even go so far as to say 60% Brett Favre is better than 100% Tavares Jackson.
I don't argue with you. We may be overdoing it a little, but I'm with you. If he's at 70% or so, at 70%,
to Tavares Jackson, he didn't let lead this team to the playoffs, and granted, he was a young quarterback at the time. But, I'm thinking at this stage, Brett Favre is 41 years old, and in a lot of ways, he's starting to act his age on some level.
Yeah, well, there's no question about it. I mean, you know, it's funny. Brett will break your heart, but then he'll go out there and throw 3 touchdown passes in a quarter, and everybody says, oh, my gosh, he's special. Guys, you think about it. At this time, you know, when this season ended last year, he was, what, 30-plus touchdowns and 7 picks, and he was an MVP candidate and was 1 or 2,
right.
A couple Adrian Peterson fumbles and a throw from far away from going to the Super Bowl. So, but the injuries, you're right. You don't recover as quick. Obviously, at 41 years old, you're not going to. But he still gives the Vikings the best chance to win. That being said, where the Vikings have made a mistake, guys, because I don't think Tavares Jackson's the quarterback of the future. Brad Childress cut off his nose despite his face, and he drafted Tavares Jackson, and Tavares Jackson's kind of been in and out of the lineup, but has never stepped up and earned the job because he's had an opportunity to before Favre got there. So the mistake they've made is not getting himself a free agent or a young quarterback drafted that they have for the future, because this is Favre's last year. But I can assure you this, that Tavares Jackson in 2011, or 2012, whatever, you know, depending on lockout or depending on what they go, that he is not going to be their quarterback that leads them to a Super Bowl. Their next year's quarterback, or at least next year's starter, I don't believe is on the roster right now.
And many are speculating that maybe Donovan McNabb down in Washington.
I think the Redskins will be crazy to let him go, but you know what? There's a lot of NFL executives and a lot of crazy things that go on. I think the Redskins at least got a Donovan McNabb for 2 or 3 more years to let him hold that down, but you know what? It very easily could happen.
Sean, do you see it for the Vikings to go out to a veteran because, you know, they do – I mean, they traded for Moss, so there is the potential, even though they gave him that exemption, that he can opt out. But they have Adrian Peterson to blow, you know, to not get a quality quarterback or to draft someone and take that risk. is it worth it for a franchise that does have some pieces? I mean, they have a pretty good tight end, and they have a great receiving core.
Oh, you know what, guys? And windows close quick, fellas. They close quick. You got to capitalize when you can. So, hey, if you could get an Andrew Luck in the draft, of course you snatch him up and hope that he plays like Sam Bradford has played for St. Louis. And Bradford's on a fairly average team, but has stepped his game up. And you stick a guy like Andrew Luck with that poise, and stick him with Adrian Peterson in a really active defense, and you know they dress up the offensive line and address a few positions there. This team with the explosiveness of wide receiver, they're not far away. And the truth is, they may be a healthy quarterback or a good decision-making quarterback away from being a Super Bowl team. That being said, you know, Childress still has to run the ball more, guys. I don't understand why Percy Harvin doesn't get more touches out of the backfield on reverses. I don't understand why Adrian Peterson, he's young, the ball ain't heavy. I think they spend too much time relying on passes that gets them in trouble. So whether it's a veteran, I think the team probably going to go out and get a veteran and draft a quarterback next year if you want the truth. I think that's what they'll do. The question is, where are they going to pick? The Lux and the Lockers and the Mallets of the world are probably going to be gone long before they pick, unless they're able to package something to get a trade. So, you know, they're going to have to look long and hard this off the season to see what they can do and who they can trade for and who's going to be available on the market.
At this point right now, Sean, the Vikings are 2-4, pretty much a game and a half out of the lead in the NFC South, NFC Central, excuse me. If you look at the Vikings, do you think they can still win that division?
I do, and I'll tell you why, and here's why they can't. First of all, if all three of those teams played as hard as the Detroit Lions, it'd be one hell of a division because the Lions play hard. And I'm going to tell you what, don't blink too much in the next couple years when that team starts to step up like they're going to be the Arizona Cardinals, the Houston Texans that we've seen step up over the last few years. In the next couple years, they're starting to build something there, and they play their heart out. As far as the reason why the Vikings can win the division now, depending on Brett's health and what they do, is you look at a Green Bay team, and I'm high on Aaron Rodgers, but this is a team that's beat up. They're beat up and banged up and always seem to be in close games, and they fortunately pulled one out, but they'd lost three the same way. So they're in some close games, and with injuries, you know, anything can happen. And the Bears are overrated, guys. I've said it since the season started. Cutler's the most overrated quarterback in the league. Trust me. I mean, Jay Cutler's got a great arm, but nothing else. He's going to play in as many Super Bowls as I played in, which is zero. Because the guy, I mean, I think he's an I confess he did it. Everybody continues to make excuses. It's not personal. I don't even know Jay. The thing is, I just see the same thing. And, you know, Mike Martz and him are going to eventually butt heads, I assure you. And Mike is a hell of a coach. But, you know, Cutler forces balls. He put D'Angelo Hall in the Pro Bowl in one game. He just, great arm that'll make you go, oh, my gosh, he can make every throw. Of course he can. But you know what? Bad decision maker, highly overrated. The players even voted him one of the top 10 most overrated players. So the Bears defense will keep him in it. Cutler will make some throws. But that team doesn't scare me one bit because I don't think they have much of a clue how to protect the quarterback. And I don't think the quarterback under pressure deals very well. So, yeah, if you look on the paper, the Vikings are still the best team in the division. It's going to come down to the quarterback. And the best quarterback in the division, clearly, and it's not close, is Aaron Rodgers. It just depends on the rest of that team and how healthy they can be. But, yeah. Give the ball to 28 and watch it happen and get that defense geared up. The Vikings, one win and a couple losses in that north, and they're right back at, you know, right near the top of half game out.
And you're right, it is the NFC North. I'm thinking old school NFC Central. If you look at Brett Favre, is he playing like he's distracted? I know he has the off-the-field thing going on. Do you see a distracted football player right there in Brett Favre?
Guys, you know what? I just see the same Brett that we're used to seeing. I mean, Brett's going to make some bad decisions, and he's going to make some good. I think it's just more injury than off the field. I really do. Okay. I think that is the most ridiculous, and not you. I'm talking about the 2 years later, the nonsense that goes with this, how they're still, if it wasn't a problem then, why is it a problem now? I think Brett's probably
right,
as good as any athlete I've ever seen, like Tiger Woods, like Michael Jordan's, of being able to take distractions off the field or off the court, or off the diamond, or off the golf course, and come in and focus on his job. I think he's great at that. And, you know, he's going to work it out between him and his wife and whatever happens with Jen Sturger. But to me, I honestly...
Oh, we talked about this. We talked about this with Willie Roach, Sean, and we were... I more than anyone said, I think that the NFL... I think to have this done 2 years later and to have this fiasco of this ridiculous investigation, it's appalling. I mean, there needs to be... some level, the league needs to, I think, they should have stepped in and actually protected their player instead of doing the opposite, which is turning into a spectacle.
No doubt. I couldn't agree with you any more than what you said, 110%, if there is such a thing. I don't understand. When are we going to stop the frivolous BS that goes on with some of these, with whether it's a guy or a girl? And I don't know Jen Sturger. It may all be true, and I don't care. But why now? Why the week of the Jets game? Why not 2 years ago? If she had a problem with it then, and why don't we hear what she said? Do we ever hear that she texted back? Do we ever hear if she answered the voicemail? Was she scorned? Was she mad that Brett didn't give her a chance? I don't know. It's too vague and too open, and why 2 years later? So to me, guys, I think it's comical. And I'll be honest with you, I love Commissioner Goodell and what he's done. But if you want my personal opinion on this situation alone, I think the NFL should have said, you're out of your mind talking to the girl in that situation. If it was a problem 2 years ago, this is our player. You know what? If it was harassment in 2008, then why the hell are we wondering if it's harassment in 2010? It should have gone away. And you know what? Brett and his wife will work that out. And Jen Sturger. I think the NFL overstepped their bounds. To be quite honest with you, 2 years later, if it ain't happening then, it ain't happening now. So I don't think.
Well,
to be honest with you,
it's yet to be.
Brett,
and
I don't think Brett's concerned about it at all.
It's yet to be. I don't think there's concern. I think, if anything, and I'm sure, Sean, you being a former NFL player, you know this better than anybody. When the media gets a hold of it, it's not the concern as much as it's so hard to focus on just even throwing the football when you're not even being asked questions that are relevant to the Jets game. You're being asked questions about something it throws, and so are your teammates, and so are the coaching staff. And, you know, as you said, it comes out at a very awkward time. And furthermore, I couldn't disagree more with you. When people are laying all these allegations, I think it's ultimately important that they don't get a chance. They can't say, I never wanted this to come out. Well, if you didn't want it to come out, then obviously you're saying it's not an issue to you. And if it's not an issue to you, it goes away. I mean, they need to be put up on the same pedestal that the athlete is or that the professional is, instead of being able to hide behind this veil of, well, they're not a celebrity. Well, no one made Brett Favre a celebrity.
He's still a human, though, too. I'm with you. And you know what?
Exactly.
I mean, when are we going to stop? And like I said, the frivolous stuff. You know, I know that there's guys who make stupid decisions and celebrities that do stupid things, but you know what? There's plenty of women that are in it for the 15 minutes of fame and doing the wrong thing. And I don't know about this situation because I wasn't a part of it. But like I said, it's awfully curious and awfully fishy 2 years later after the fact. So to me, we've got to be able to stop the nonsense from the stalkers and the chasers and the people who are putting these guys in bad situations too. I mean, it goes both ways. It's not just because he's an athlete. So it drives me nuts. And like I said, I don't know her from Adam, guys, but I do know this, that I think it's frivolous and BS, and we in the media, and we'll include ourselves, at times we're pathetic for even addressing this, because I addressed it on my show too and beat it up, and I was just like you guys are, frustrated by it and say, why now? So, and I still don't have the answer. So you're exactly right. We ask questions. We wonder why the guy's not focused on his game, but we're beating it up. The truth is, Brett's got a heart. He's a human being, too. He's got to go home and face his kids and face his wife and answer to these questions. But you know what? We don't let these guys suffer or fix their stuff in peace. We continue to beat it up and beat it up. And you know what? And the sad thing about it is, if he throws three touchdown passes, it goes away. He throws three picks, and everybody says, it's got to be because of what's going on. So we all have a part in it. But you know what? I think it's pathetic. And to me, if it didn't happen, if it wasn't a problem in 2008, and when I hear people say that his career may be tarnished, give me a friggin' break. Give me a break. And I think that the Jets or whoever's involved in the NFL kind of ought to be ashamed of themselves for allowing it to get to this point, to be honest with you.
We're talking to Sean Salisbury, former NFL quarterback, and Sean also has a radio show on Voices of America Sports. So make sure you check him out there. VoicesofAmericanSports.com, I should say. And make sure you check them out there. Sean, we'll move to the Dallas Cowboys now. You are in Dallas, and you see this team a lot. They're 1-5 right now. Tony Romo's pretty much out for the season. What's going on in Dallas?
Bad average team, guys. I'm tired. Everybody keeps talking about talent. Well, talent doesn't lose. Does that go 1-5? When in doubt, talent finds a way to win. Now, first of all, way overhyped in the preseason. We discussed this, guys, when we were talking a couple, month and a half or two months ago. Way overhyped in the preseason. Tony Romo's a good quarterback. He's not a special quarterback. Good athlete, but not a special quarterback. They are a finesse football team, and physical usually beats finesse. They're a team that's undisciplined and kind of does it their way, and as witnessed by all the penalties. They make big plays, but they don't make the small plays. They don't know what they don't have an identity on their football team if they want to run or pass. They're not stupid, but they're not stupid as far as guys. I've said, and I've been on record, this is the dumbest football IQ team in the NFL. They're the dumbest. Watch them. And you know what? You can watch them and the Chargers. Just you know what? Put a different jersey on. It's the same team. Every year we overhype them. Every year we tell everybody how talented they are, and every year they break your heart. But this football team here in the Dallas, yeah, I don't care if Tony was healthy for the rest of the year. They weren't going to win 8 games. At 1-4, now 1-5, they got to win 9 out of 10 to get in the playoffs with a backup quarterback. They weren't going to do that with a starter. So, guys, you know what? They'll make a play and then they'll kill you with 3 more. Their special teams is average. They don't tackle well. Watch them. Watch what they do. They miss blitz pickups. Guy will be running right down the middle, and then they'll miss an open field tackle. This is not. I mean, there's some talent, but it's not that talented. If it was that talented, we wouldn't be talking about a 1-5 team. It's that simple.
And you're talking about the missed blocks. The fullback missed the block that caused Tony Romo to get injured, pretty much.
We're talking.
So it's funny that you said that.
Yeah, you blocked You blocked the most dangerous man in football. The Gronkowski stepped outside. The most dangerous man came inside, gets a free run at Tony. That's what I mean. It's just stupid little things. It's constant. It's kind of, they never go 60 minutes without beating themselves.
They're paying too much attention. They're paying way too much attention. That's another example of paying too much attention to the media. They're paying way too much attention to their owner / general manager / part-time head coach. And, you know, I hate to use the comparison of Al Davis with Jerry Jones, because certainly in my opinion, when he had a clear winner in terms of a coach and an organization, he wasn't as boisterous as he is now. But I've been saying, I think he really needs to either, you know, become Al Davis fully or totally step back and become an owner, because to me, he is way too much a part of a team when he wants to be, but then now when they're really underperforming, we constantly are hearing about the head coach and not about him, who's made some questionable player decisions.
Oh, there's no question about it. And their personnel and depth and some of the things they haven't addressed, and he can, you know, put it this way, guys, I know Jerry, and I like him. I know he wants to win. I promise you he wants to win. But unfortunately, at times, to a fault, I don't like, to me, owners are supposed to sign paychecks and sit up in their suite. And then this past week, and like I said, I mean, there's some things I disagree on certain owners and general managers and what they do. I mean, Mark Cuban's in this town, and I think Mark meddles too much, but I'm a big fan of Mark Cuban because I know he spends money and wants to win too. But with Jerry, guys, I mean, last week they had Jerry address the team. Owners don't address teams, man. Have you ever?
Right.
And then earlier this season they had a players-only meeting. Do you guys understand that when's the last time you heard of a winning team or a winning team have either a players-only meeting or an owner address the team? The winning teams don't do that. Winning teams, the New England Patriots ain't having a players-only meeting. The New England Patriots aren't having Tom Kraft, I mean, you know, Mr. Kraft, what'd I say, Tom? Robert Kraft come in town and come down from his press box and address him in a team meeting, maybe to hand out rings or bonuses. He's not going to address them. If they're 1-6, if they're 1-6, he wouldn't do it. And you know what? You know what Bill Belichick would say? No, this is my team. If you want to come down here and address them, you coach them or fire me. You just don't do those things. So then that's why the Cowboys are, thank goodness for the Rangers, because the Cowboy fans start to throw themselves in front of cars here. But this is a really, really average football team, guys, that does not know how to close. And I'm starting to wonder, I'm anxious to see, because I'll find out more about a team now than I will a 5-1 team, more a 1-5 team. I want to find out with this 1-5 team who quits. I want to see who goes out and plays with the backup quarterback. I want to see how they respond now, because if I'm coaching them, I'll look around and start to find the guys that I know that I'm going to eliminate this offseason. And if it doesn't get better, then Wade's going to be eliminated too. So there are going to be probably 6, 7, 8 coaches change this offseason, guys. And I believe that Wade Phillips is going to be one of them, as is North Turner in San Diego. Singletary, if things don't get better. I mean, you go up and down the list. But the Dallas Cowboys guys have no shot. There's nothing about them that, you know, people drop balls. Their best football player is Dez Bryant, and he's a rookie. He's their best football player, period. Miles Austin's good, but Dez Bryant's a better player than Miles Austin right now. So this is a very, very average football team that, you know, I'm going to quit talking about them on my radio show because they're starting to bore me. I've talked about them too much.
and real quick now, Sean, Michael Vick, Kevin Cobb, who should be the starter in Philadelphia?
I'd start Vic. Gives you more. Now Cobb can throw it, guys, and I'm not down on Cobb. I'm not. I mean, a couple weeks ago when he came in for Vic and he played a little bit scared when Vic got hurt early in the game. He was not pulling the trigger, was a little timid. But I know the guy can throw it. He's got a big arm, and I trust Andy Reid. But to me, when Michael Vick's healthy, Michael Vick actually is a better thrower now than when he went to prison, guys. He's become more of a quarterback as opposed to just a guy who could beat you with spectacular skills. And I think if they continue to coach him up, I can always bring a thrower off the bench, guys, as a changeup pitch. But I can tell you right now, I will not, absolutely will not, keep Michael Vick on the bench unless he folds up his tent and doesn't play well. But the way he's playing right now, when he's healthy, you got to put him out there. Because when you're playing, I would, as a defense, now you don't want Peyton Manning to play against every week, but as a defense, and I've talked to defensive players across this league for years, they'd much rather play against a guy who sits in the pocket like Brady, like Peyton Manning. Now, you don't want to have to deal with those good players, but that type of player, as opposed to a guy who can beat you both ways like a Steve Young or Michael Vick, because they get tired and you got to run around all day. So if Vick's accurate
right.
with his feet, he becomes like one of the ultimate weapons in the league because you can't defend that if he's throwing the ball well. So for me, I can always bring the hard-throwing closer off the bench in Kevin Cobb if I need it, but I start Vick because it makes defenses go crazy with his feet. He can win games by going 6 out of 20 throwing the ball, but by running for 85 yards and getting 7 first downs with his feet during a game. So I start Vick if it's me. When he's healthy, he plays.
Now, Sean, you are on the radio. Tell everybody where they can find you.
Well, I'm on VoiceAmericaSports.com, and Sean Salisbury Unfiltered every morning, 11 Eastern, Monday through Friday, 11 Eastern. It'll be going for 2 hours in about 2 weeks or so, but it's on for an hour now, Monday through Friday, and I do Fox Local here. And I'm also, guys, and this I'll just tell you this, I just signed a deal, and the pilot will come out on Versus, I believe, in January, but I'm going to do a new deal, and a bunch of networks are interested in it, is doing what Jon Stewart does for Comedy Central for sports. A little bit of comedy,
okay.
But a lot of hardcore football, and just signed a deal with that, so I'm excited. It's been my dream. I've been wanting to do this for 7 or 8 years, and it's been kind of a dream job, so that'll come out and hopefully be give you an hour show once a week all year long. It'll be a combination of kind of like a ESPN mixed with the Daily Show mixed with a bunch of stuff, so it'll be pretty funny with a little comedic, but hardcore football and sports all the way around, not just football, but sports.
Sean, we thank you for stopping by. It was greatly appreciated, sir, and wish you nothing but the best of luck with your show down the line, sir.
Guys, I'm always honored and grateful to be a part of your show. I love when I'm on hold and listening. You guys make great points, and thank you for allowing me to be included, as always.
Thanks, Sean. Thank you, sir.
Appreciate
Sean
you.
Salisbury. We are now being joined by actor
Hello?
Barry Floyd from the game. Barry?
What's going on?
How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Right now, I'm doing great. And right now, I got to say, TU, Temple University, is definitely in the house. I'm a Temple alumni. My co-host, Jeremy Yesby, is a Temple alumni. And our boy, Barry Floyd, is a Temple alumni. So Temple
Class
University is definitely in the house. TU,
yes.
mother. Good to have you on, Barry. Now,
good to be on.
I'm a big fan of the show, and I've watched the show many times. Tell us about your character. You play T.T., who is Malik Wright's, the star quarterback's assistant. Tell us about your character.
Well, like you said, I play Malik's assistant. I'm kind of, I'm like the comic relief. I'm like the Kramer of the show. I kind of... I'm there, I make my funny comments or whatever, I walk out the room, everybody laughs. This season coming up, though, they're going to expand my role a little bit, give me a little bit more to do other than just be the funny guy, so I'm really excited about that, and I can't wait for people to see it. I get to show a different range of emotions than I've been doing the past 3 seasons.
And it's funny, I was going to ask you that. So T.T. definitely will have more of a prominent role this season.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to be on my bad, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say I'm going to be in, they've got 13 episodes, I'm going to be in 7 of them. So I got more than half of them right there.
Okay. Now, it's funny reading your story, Barry. You really did not want to be an actor. You actually were a production assistant for the show Girlfriends. And
yeah.
You ultimately became a member of the game. how did all this happen?
Just by accident. Like you said, I didn't want to be an actor. I moved there to be a screenwriter. And I was just in the right place at the right time. I was on set, always clowning and joking around and stuff. And they thought I was, so they asked me to audition.
So do you still, so are you still writing? I guess you wowed them.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't really expecting to book it. I just went in, I took it seriously, and, you know, I just did my best, and they liked it. But I was, you know, I never took an acting class or anything before that point, so I was very surprised.
So, Barry, are you still writing, you know, as you were in the past, or have you really just embraced a lot of the acting?
I've embraced the acting, but I'm still writing. In fact, I have a sketch comedy show. It's called Purple Stuff TV. I was doing it on the internet with some friends of mine, and I'm one of the head writer on that show. And we just shot a pilot. We're trying to sell that to one of the major networks right now. So hopefully, y'all be seeing that on TV soon.
Now, Barry, you have been doing that, but what else have you been doing since the game has ended?
Mostly I've been putting everything in the Purple Stuff because, like I said, we just shot the pilot and we're trying to get that on TV. So that's been where most of my focus has gone. And in the meantime, I've just been working on scripts just to have stuff in my library for when the time comes for when I get a literary agent.
You play TT, you have that kind of dry, wry type of humor. Are you that way off the set?
Yeah, I think so. I'm kind of similar to my character, except I wouldn't ever be anybody slunky. But like, tell me I got that dry humor. This one girl from the UK told me I had English humor. So I'm not too familiar with English humor, but I guess that must be a good thing.
So was that a compliment?
I took it as such, so I hope so.
Go ahead, King. You're the man. No, you're the man, Paul. I'm just here.
All right, fine. I'll go ahead. All right, the show has moved to BET. How much different will the show be now that it is on BET?
Well, they haven't done original sitcoms before, so they don't have the same mindset as the other networks where there's a certain way it has to be done. So it's opened up a lot more, and I think it's a lot more cinematic than your average sitcom.
Okay.
So that's going to be really exciting. I can't wait for people to see it.
Now, how excited were you when you found out that the game was coming back?
Oh, very, because it means I get a job again. You know, acting is a great business to be in as long as you're working, but when you're not working, it can be a little tough. So I was really excited to hear it was coming back.
In fact, you mentioned acting, though. I'm curious, as a guy that was on the opposite end of a camera, how has it impacted you in terms of being a writer, you know, being now in front of the camera?
It hasn't affected me too much, except that I, seeing that from that perspective, I see a little bit how where writers can be limited sometimes, where like the budget of the show or the reality of what you have to shoot can really put a limit on your imagination. But other than that, not too much.
Now, Barry, we have some callers here who would like to talk to you. Are you willing to talk to some callers?
No, I don't do that. No, yeah, of course. Put them on.
All right. We got Barry Floyd here, so we got a couple calls. We'll start here. Hello, you're on with Barry Floyd.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, Barry. How are you?
You're on with Barry Floyd.
Hi, Barry. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks, Connie in Chicago. Thanks for friending me on Facebook, by the way.
Oh, yeah. You hit me on Facebook today.
I did, and I love the game. Glad it's back, but I have a question. Are you going to get a love interest on the show?
You'll see. I'm not allowed to reveal too much, but you'll see.
Okay. I had the pleasure of meeting Jose a few months ago, and I really liked him. Nice guy.
It's cool. That's what's up.
Okay.
I'm over here watching your Bulls right now. How you feel about them?
How the Bulls doing?
They're doing, well, they went to commercial now, but they were winning the last time I looked.
Okay. I'm still a fan of the Bulls. That's my team.
That's what's up. Yeah, don't jump off the bandwagon.
Okay. I just want to tell you congrats and good luck with the show. I'm a loyal fan.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Okay. You take care.
You too.
Take care. And we actually had Jose on this show as well, and he does seem like a good guy. How is your relationship? I mean, it seems like do you guys have a good relationship off the set? Are you friends? Would you call him a friend?
Nah, that's the worst. We fight all the time, and no, I'm just playing. Yeah, we're good. We're cool. Actually, they've all been very nice to me because the way I came in, I was a little nervous. Because these were all established actors, and here I am, you know, I was the PA, and then, you know, I just kind of got lucky and ended up acting with them. So I was a little afraid of how they would react to me, but they were all very nice to me and very supportive, and they taught me a lot.
And definitely it seems like you're learning a lot. It definitely seems like you're an up-and-coming actor. Any movie deals for you coming up or other than the game?
Not yet, but hopefully soon. I'm out there auditioning all the time when I'm not working, so sooner or later I should catch another break, and I would love to be in a movie.
Now, Barry, you want to take a look? We got another caller here who would like to talk to Barry Floyd.
Yeah, sure. Put him on.
Hello, you're on with Barry Floyd.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, hello?
Yes, you're on with Barry Floyd.
Hi, Barry. How are you?
How you doing? I'm good. Who's this?
This is Shania.
Oh, Shania, what's up?
How are you? I saw you posted on Facebook and Twitter, so I just wanted to give you a shout out and some love. And I'm so happy for you, and you know I'm going to be watching the show and looking out for everything.
That's cool. That's what's up, definitely. January 11th, we'll be on BET with new episodes.
Great. Yeah, well, I hope everything continues to go well, and it's nice to hear your voice.
You too.
What about our voice?
They hear your voice all the time, man.
Where's our love, Shania?
Well, I can't hear you.
I guess Shania has no love for us.
That was so cool. Okay.
Go ahead, Barry.
I was going to say, it's so cool. Like, it's been two callers so far, but they're both people I've been talking to on my Facebook page, so it was actually cool that they actually called in.
Now, Barry, you're from the Philadelphia area. We do talk sports on this show. Are you an Eagles fan?
Of course. And nothing can make
fan?
Me happier than the state of the Cowboys right now.
you and me both. I think all of us here on the line, Jeremy as well.
I'm a Cowboy fan. I bleed green. I grew up on that. And I think they look pretty okay this year. They're doing a lot better than I expected them to. And I like Cobb. I wasn't too sure about Cobb in the beginning, but he stepped up in Vic's absence. And I'm not really scared of Giants, so I think we got a really good chance of winning the division. And I'm hopeful for the playoffs, but I'm not willing to commit to that yet.
I'm not willing to commit as well, but I am equally as hopeful. Now Barry, Temple's playing some good football too.
For a change.
Don't forget about our house.
Well, you can.
Yeah, when I was there, they were pretty terrible, so I never really got into the football too much when I was at Temple. They were really terrible when I was there.
Well, they were equally as bad when we were there as well.
Yeah, I think it was a couple years ago when they just went defeated for the whole season.
Yeah, it wasn't good. It wasn't pretty.
But, yeah, I'm glad they're doing well now.
Now, Barry, what part of Philadelphia are you from?
I'm from Penrose, from Southwest. By the airport.
Okay. Southwest Philly in the house.
How about yourself?
Now, Barry, the show will be starting on January 11th, 2011. Yeah. And it's going to be great. It's going to be great to have the show on. Now that the show has started, has your popularity, did you find now that the show is coming back that you get more hits on your Facebook page, more hits on your Twitter page?
Yes, I get recognized on the street a lot more, too, and that's kind of weird. I'm still trying to adjust to that. Especially right. We shoot down in Atlanta, and we have a huge following in Atlanta. So we couldn't go anywhere. Everywhere we went in Atlanta, people were recognizing us, asking to take pictures and stuff. And it was really cool, a lot of fun. And I really liked Atlanta a lot.
Now Barry, I mean, a lot of people see you on the show. A lot of people might want to know if you're single or if you're in some kind of relationship. So tell the viewers, are you single, Barry, or are you in some type of relationship?
I'm in a relationship. I got a girlfriend.
Okay.
I was debating whether or not to say I am because I'm not sure, with celebrities, you're supposed to pretend to be single even when you're not. But,
right.
Yeah, I got a girlfriend. And we've been together. We've been together for a minute now, and it's going well. Now, go ahead.
So is there wedding bells in the future?
The distant future, maybe.
as two people who probably should be advising you, if there are bells in your future, put some wax in the ears. Don't pay attention to the bells. Enjoy yourself. You're a young
okay.
actor.
That sounds like good advice.
You are a young actor, Barry. You definitely enjoy yourself.
And,
now,
if you want me to help you, please.
Now, Barry, do you want to take some more callers? I mean, they're all lined
sure.
up for you.
Yeah, put
all
them
right.
through. Put them through.
You're on with Barry Floyd. Give us your name.
Hello,
and where you're from.
This is Bree from North Carolina.
Hey, what's going on, Bree?
How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I just wanted to call in and give you some support. I love the game, and I love your character on the game. And I was just wondering what you thought was the best part of being a part of the game.
The best part of being part of the game. I definitely think it's the camaraderie with the cast. We're all pretty good friends. We hang out and stuff. So I think that's the best part of it, getting to work with a great group of people like that.
That's cool. Well, I definitely look forward to seeing the new season in January.
Oh, don't miss it, January 11th. Write it down.
Definitely.
Well, write it down. Make sure you write it down. January 11th, 2011. Write it down, write it down, write it down.
Yeah, that's 1-1-1-1-1.
1-1-1. All right, we got another caller, Barry. You're all with Barry Floyd.
What's up?
Yo, what up?
Oh, I'm on? Okay. Yo, what's up, Barry?
What's going on?
Not much. I just wanted to ask you a question, man, about this season of the game. Would there be any cuss words, man, or are they still going to mute it out?
It's BT. I guess they've been muting it out of all the reruns, so I got to assume that in the new ones they'll be bleeping them out too.
Okay.
But I didn't get that many cuss words to work with in the first place, so I don't
think
you'll miss.
You was with Jose and Malik. Y'all was over there, having a conversation. They was cussing, saying, ass and damn and stuff, and, bitch here or there, but, BT.
Yeah, they'll probably bleep it out.
Well, all right,
thanks,
man.
Thanks for your call. So, Barry, it seems like you're getting a lot of love tonight, and the fans are excited to have this show back.
That's what's up, man. I'm glad I have that kind of following. I didn't think anybody would call in.
Barry, the fans love you.
That's what's up. Yeah, no Cowboys fans, though.
We'll keep those. We'll keep them at bay.
Yeah.
They have nothing to say anyway at this point. Now, Barry, you are a PA, and you went from a PA to an actor. In terms of the female attention, how much has that changed?
Well, first of all, I always got my fair share, but it's increased a little bit just from some people seeing me on camera with a. Nah, it's increased a little bit though, but for the most part, I get approached by people. It's all love, attention's increased. But like I said, I got a girlfriend and everything, so.
And that was my next question. How do you manage this with the girlfriend and everything?
I just do.
I mean, how's a guy like Barry Ford avoid the temptation?
Just by keeping yourself out of those situations where you might be tempted. You know, if I go out with the guys, I'm just out with the guys and not trying to, just basically keeping myself out of a compromising situation, basically.
Right. So basically going home when it's time to go home for the most part.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Now, January 11th is actually a Tuesday. Will the show stay on Tuesday nights?
I believe so, yes. Much better than
so is there a time, I know when I was talking to Jose, they didn't have a time at that point, but is there a time at this point now?
Not one that I know of yet. When I do find out, I'll post it on my Twitter and my Facebook.
Okay. Make sure you do it. Anybody wants to talk with Barry Ford? We've got a couple minutes left. Numbers to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You got an opportunity to talk to the man, the myth, the legend, Barry Floyd, TT from the game. So take advantage of this opportunity to talk to this man, the myth, the legend. Now, Barry,
like
do you get back to Philadelphia often?
Yeah, I try to get back twice a year. I definitely go home every Christmas. I try to come every Christmas and every summer. But I don't miss Christmas, so I'll be home for Christmas.
All right, Barry, we got a call for you, sir. So you ready to go?
Yes.
Hello, you're on with Barry Floyd.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. I just wanted to call and let you know that I'm really excited that the show is coming back on. But I did have one question. I just wanted to know, through your acting career, what would you say is the most desirable thing about this experience?
The most desirable thing?
Yeah, like what do you enjoy most about acting?
Oh, what do I enjoy most about it? you're not going to get me in trouble like that, man.
I'm sorry, Barry.
I enjoyed just the idea, the ability to make a living from being creative, because I'm a creative person. And whether I'm writing or acting, just the fact that I'm making a living from being creative is a really big deal to me.
And I wasn't trying to get you in trouble. Speaking of women, Paul.
Maybe Paul's trying to live vicariously through other people, and he should think about that.
Oh, I'm not living through Barry. I mean, I got my wife at home. I don't need that stress. Don't try to get me in trouble.
Well, then if you don't need it, then neither does Barry. See, if you don't need it, then maybe
we're trying to get Barry in trouble. Don't get me in trouble.
Yeah, I know, right? Wait, how you avoid temptation, man?
I go home.
Let's call a kid, Barry.
That helps me.
Oh, you got a kid.
You always got to go home, Barry. That's the key. Go home. You got to go home. You got to know where your bread is buttered, and you got to know that you got a good one at home. I don't need that stress, Barry. I got my wife at home.
All right, we on the same page, then.
So we got to make sure you get home, too, so you can avoid the temptation. Let's take one more caller. Hello, you're on with Barry Floyd. Hello?
Oh, they got scared.
They got scared. Now, Barry, we got about another 30 seconds left, sir. The show will be returning on BET January 11th, 2011. I'm a big fan of the show, and I'm excited to have the show back, and I'm definitely looking forward to it. Do you have any? Can you tell us anything about what we can expect in this upcoming season?
You can expect good writing, great stories. You're going to fall in love all over again, just like you fell in love before. And you're going to see a little bit more out of my character than you got to see previously. So make sure you don't miss.
And we'll leave it there. Remember, it's on BET, January 11th, 2011. The game is back. Barry Floyd, we thank you for coming on by, sir. It was a lot of fun. And I wish you nothing but the best in the future in Temple University, baby.
Cool. Thanks for having me. Go Eagles.
All right. Take care.
All right.
Barry Floyd, good to have you. And we want to thank Barry Floyd for stopping by. We also want to thank Sean Salisbury for stopping by. And we want to thank everybody who listened, everybody who called in. You can listen to this show and other shows at blogtalkradio.com/pgan. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgan.